Last week, New Orleans Saints quarterback Drew Brees drew heavy criticism for his comments about kneeling during the national anthem. In an interview with Yahoo Finance, Brees said he will, quote, never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America. He also said while he's all for racial equality and justice, he stands with his grandfathers who fought in World War II. Kneeling has become a form of protest of police brutality against minorities. Brees' comments didn't sit well with a number of athletes, including Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, who said the protests never had anything to do with the flag. Brees has since apologized a number of times, saying he's sensitive to the issue and has vowed to be part of the solution. While his apologies has been welcomed by some, others are saying he shouldn't have apologized in the first place. And he's the only high-profile figure to find himself in this situation. Our guest says there's a better way to talk about race. Tina Harris is a professor and endowed chair of race, media, and cultural literacy in the Manship School of Mass Communication at Louisiana State University. Tina, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we're glad you're here with us. Since you're there in Louisiana, let's start with Brees. What did you make of the whole situation, his comments about the flag and then the backlash and his apologies?
When I initially heard his comment, I definitely wasn't surprised because I've heard many public figures, you know, say that they are against or not supportive of athletes who are kneeling and protesting, and they see it as an issue of patriotism. And I was kind of, I guess you could say, taken aback when he apologized. So he was very adamant. If you watch the first clip, not the first clip, but the coverage of his first statement, his more recent statement, you know, he made it quite clear that he would never change his opinion about the issue. And then within 24 hours, you know, he changed his opinion.
And so I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, so that was fairly quick for him to change his mind. And it seemed unauthentic or inauthentic to me, you know, that it was probably, I don't know his heart, but it just seemed like it might be something political that he's doing in terms of wanting to present himself in the public eye in a certain way.
Well, here's a clip from one of Brees' apologies. This was posted on his Instagram account.
I wish I would have laid out what was on my heart in regards to the George Floyd murder, Ahmaud Arbery, the years and years of social injustice, police brutality, and the need for so much reform and change in regards to legislation and so many other things to bring equality to our Black communities. I am sorry, and I will do better, and I will be part of the solution, and I am your ally.
What stands out to you about that apology?
What stands out to me is that he does acknowledge or recognize that he should have spoken from his heart, and he does seem to be very reflective about his initial stance and where he is right now. This also brings to light it struck me that his apology is, I don't want to say it's in keeping with, but it just makes me think of other people in, I guess you could say, there's some individuals who will, they're not necessarily apologizing for the perception of kneeling and patriotism, but there's a transgression that's been committed against African Americans or other marginalized groups on a public platform, and then those individuals seem to be going on an apology tour where, you know, it seems as though their apology is strategic, and it might be insincere. I'm not saying that he's not sincere, but because we've seen so many apologies, not just recently, but, you know, throughout history, where people, you know, will apologize for a racial transgression, and it should be more about the change in the individual, like what's going on that's prompting this change. Your actions speak louder than words.
And Brees was specifically asked about kneeling. Had he not made these comments so close to the death of George Floyd, do you think the response would have been as strong, or might it have been different?
I don't think the responses would have been as strong, but I still do think that people would have been rejecting his apology, because we've heard a lot of people apologize for their way of thinking, their behavior, their judgment of African Americans in various situations, and it's almost as if a person is apologizing not for offending someone, but apologizing for their behavior. Let me clarify that. So they may be apologizing and saying, "I'm sorry that you found my behavior offensive," as opposed to, "I'm sorry, I just did not know," or "I didn't take the time to be more knowledgeable," if that makes sense.
We're talking with Tina Harris right now. She's a professor and endowed chair of race, media, and cultural literacy in the Manship School of Mass Communication at Louisiana State University. And we're talking about some high-profile comments and pushback and then often apologies that have been happening in the wake of the George Floyd killing at the hands of Minneapolis police. You can join the conversation by calling us at 800-642-1234. And let's go to the phones. And Steve in Sun Prairie is up. Hi, Steve.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I listened to Colin Kaepernick's complete interview where we started the discussion at his locker. I listened to the thing about four or five times. The reason why he's kneeling and what he's saying is the country is not worthy of respect. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay if that's what his belief is, the country is not worthy of respect. That's why I'm kneeling. Don't lie to me and tell me what you're doing is respectful. It is disrespectful by definition. I take him at his word. So anyone that tells me otherwise is full of it.
All right. Thanks for that, Steve. And Tina, would you like to respond to that?
Well, that was loaded. I guess I could say that in response to that, the kneeling is representative of the anguish, the frustration that African Americans are having in this country, not just in this moment, but we've had this for quite some time. And I think we are currently at our boiling point, because no matter what kind of resistance we have engaged in, that has failed to get people's attention to recognize that there are a lot of injustices that are going on in the country. And I understand that people they have their perceptions about what the kneeling means and patriotism, but what people really should be directing their attention to is the number of African Americans that are being killed, in police custody.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, so that's what the bottom line is that this is about senseless death for, fairly innocent infractions. I mean, some people are not even, breaking the law. The young lady, Breonna Taylor, was in her home and was shot 8 times by police. She was asleep in her bed. And so the purpose is to bring attention to these social justice issues. And yes, patriotism is important. I'm proud to be a U.S. citizen, but at the same time, I'm also African American, and I understand what it's like to live in a country, where you feel devalued at every level.
We're talking about how to talk about race with Tina Harris. She's a professor and endowed chair of race, media, and cultural literacy in the Manship School of Mass Communication at Louisiana State University. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of Drew Brees' apology, or do you think he should have stood by his original comment about kneeling during the national anthem? How do you feel when someone says all lives matter? Do you find it hard to talk about race because you're worried about saying something deemed offensive? Or maybe you genuinely want to avoid being offensive unintentionally. How frustrating is it when you hear somebody say something that is racially insensitive? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation in just a bit here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. We're continuing our discussion on how to talk about race. This is in light of New Orleans Saints quarterback Drew Brees saying he's opposed to kneeling during the national anthem. After being heavily criticized, he's apologized several times. In addition, a longtime NBA broadcaster resigned after tweeting "All Lives Matter." He says he didn't know the phrase was considered dismissive to the concerns of Black Americans. Tina Harris is our guest. She's a professor and endowed chair of race, media, and cultural literacy in the Manship School of Mass Communication at Louisiana State University. What do you think? You can give us a call at 800-642-1234. Do Americans need an education on how to talk constructively about race? And how do you feel political correctness has affected the conversation? Has it made it better, harder? We want to hear your thoughts. And have recent events made you feel more or less likely to engage in conversations about racial issues? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. And let's go to the phones, and Jeff in Green Bay is up. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, yes. I just wanted to say that I think that, as was stated, actions speak larger than words. And my understanding of his apology, that does fit more with his actions. After Katrina, I know that he was raised money for New Orleans. And throughout his career, he's been very vocal and on the side of helping the community out. And so I believe in his heart, he didn't mean to offend anyone when he said that, when he equated kneeling with lack of patriotism. And that's why the conversation needs to go forward to educate him that the kneeling wasn't about being anti-patriotic. It's the kneeling is showing that, hey, America's not living up to what they say they do. And
thanks for that call, Jeff. And I want to bring on a different perspective there. Let's go to Jill calling from Boyd. Hi, Jill.
Hi. My comment is that I feel like kneeling is an act of reverence. Catholics have been kneeling for centuries as an act of reverence and that type of thing. I feel like if Mr. Kaepernick and others who have knelt in protest would have sat down or stood up and turned their backs, then I would have seen that as being very disrespectful. But I do not feel like kneeling is not, well, it's not a sign of disrespect. I guess that's all I need to say.
Great. Thank you for that call, Jill. And Tina, hearing from different sides of this issue, I think it really shows that there's a big gap in how different people are viewing different parts of this issue. And that alone makes it very difficult to discuss. How do we talk about these issues of race in a constructive way?
Yeah, it does make it very difficult in that you have people who are coming from different backgrounds, different worldviews, and different experiences who, you know, ultimately might either agree to disagree or they choose to not talk about the issues at all. And I think that it is imperative that we have one-on-one conversations with each other to understand exactly what racism is and how that's impacting all of us. A couple of weeks ago, one of my students here at LSU emailed me, and she said that she was having a conversation with her family and wanted to know how she could better explain to them what she had been learning in my class that could help them understand, you know, why people were in the streets, you know, protesting, and ultimately not all of them, but some, you know, were looting. And eventually I just sat down, took a few minutes, and I developed a metaphor, which I think now it has like 3,000, close to 4,000 views. And I used the metaphor of African Americans, or at the time Africans, when they were enslaved, were essentially in a forced marriage with the U.S. And she being African Americans, are like a woman who has been abused. She's been crying out, and Nothing has happened. No one has come to her rescue. No one has come to protect her. And people, as a result, are lashing out of the depths of their souls. And so that has been a catalyst to help people talk across platforms. I've seen people posting and tagging friends and family on their Facebook pages, and they're even taking the video that I've created to go along with that, you know, to their families, saying, "Hey, let's talk about this from this perspective." And so, I'm sorry, it took so long to describe what happened, but I think it's important because it shows us that, you know, we need to think about, we need to be creative in how we are talking to each other about race issues and race relations, because that's the only way we can make a difference and have understanding, is through interpersonal communication. We have to, you know, be honest with ourselves and be truthful about what racism is, and that there's a power dynamic. There is systemic racism that exists in not just the U.S., but elsewhere. But right now we're talking about the U.S., and it's important for us to recognize the power dimensions and how that's affecting groups differently, and some more severely than others.
We're talking right now with Tina Harris. She's a professor and endowed chair of race, media, and cultural literacy at Louisiana State University. And we are talking about some recent events that have been controversial comments made by high-profile people, in many cases in the sports arena, and the ensuing reactions and often apologies by the people who said them. And I want to also touch on the situation also last week. Lots been going on lately. The longtime radio play-by-play announcer for the Sacramento Kings, Grant Napier, resigned for tweeting "All Lives Matter." And I want to go back to the phones, and Julie in Platteville is up with a comment about that. Julie, hi.
Hi. I just want to say, I'm an old white lady. And my feeling on this, it just, since, I guess, Trayvon Martin, I've just been getting more and more heartbroken and more angry. I don't understand why this is going on. I mean, of course all lives should matter, but until every black life matters as much as every white life, all lives clearly do not matter, at least not to the people they should matter to.
Thank you so much for that call, Julie. And Tina, I've seen a lot of different analogies going around about why saying all lives matter can be seen as very offensive and dismissive to people who are advocating for Black Lives Matter. Can you help us unpack that a little bit?
Yes. So when people are saying that Black Lives Matter, it is the purpose and goal of just drawing attention to the fact that that blacks are disproportionately, you know, killed at the hands of police at a much higher rate than whites are. And some people might say, oh, well, the numbers might be the same, or they're quite similar, or we're talking about black on black crime. That's not the case at all. It means that, you know, black people are targeted at a much higher rate. No one should be targeted, but that's what's going on here. And so by saying that Black Lives Matter, it's a cry to recognize that we are important just like everybody else. And it doesn't mean that Black lives are better than or more valuable than anybody else's. Yes, all human lives matter. But the purpose and goal is to bring attention to the fact that Black lives are not they're not being treated as if they have any value at all. And so it's almost like African Americans can be dispensed of, you know, at the drop of a hat. I mean, and we see that it's going on in the, you know, in the news. So it's important for people. And I want to thank the woman who was just on and had made the comment. I could hear the pain in her voice, and that's what a lot of people are feeling, is that Black lives do matter, and people are misconstruing that and thinking that, you know, we're saying that all other lives are less valuable or less important, or that we are African Americans are much more important, and that's not the case at all. Everyone deserves the right to live, and unfortunately, that doesn't seem to be the case for all African Americans.
This might be a difficult question to answer, but if we are trying to genuinely engage in conversations about race, and mm-hmm. we may say something that unknowingly does not land with the intention that we have, when and how should we apologize for something we may have said?
I think that an apology would be due, you know, immediately or as soon as the person recognizes that they were offensive to someone. There are two concepts that my colleague and I talk about in our textbook on interracial communication, and they are emotionality and intentionality. So when you are interacting with someone of a different race, sometimes those conversations can be difficult, and it's important to, well, it's important to recognize that there are two different ways that a person can interpret a message. If it's intentionality, you can look at the intention of the person. So that person might say, oh my goodness, I never intended to offend you. And if that's communicated and it seems like it's genuine, and then a person can say, okay, well, they didn't intend to offend me, I can forgive them and we can move forward in our relationship. But then we can look at the flip side, which is emotionality, where a person has, you know, made a comment, they've said something that's offensive to, you know, their friend or their colleague, and they can apologize. But when we talk about emotionality, you're focused on the emotion, like how that person felt as a result of what was being said to them. So it's important for us to, you know, really take into consideration comments that are being made to someone who's not in the same racial group as you, because those words, you know, can be very hurtful.
And we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much to Tina Harris for joining us. She's a professor of race, media, and cultural literacy at Louisiana State University. We talked with her about recent controversies, about comments coming from several sports figures, and how to have productive but tough conversations about race.